A Bible is just a Bible. Or is it? Publishers are rushing to print the newest scriptures, but they might be going the wrong direction. What if the newest Bible had the date 1537 proudly emblazoned on its cover? After almost 500 years of lying dormant, something ancient and old is picked up and dusted off. It begins to breathe life into a young generation. Can you handle the truth? The Matthew Bible Modern Spelling Edition. Listen as it unlocks the mysteries of heaven.
Hello and thank you for joining us.
The host, Pastor Nathan Harding.
The Matthew Bible is the true, accurate, and God-inspired English language Bible. There's a pure and unaltered truth that can only be found in this Bible.
This is the Matthew Bible Podcast.
The angel said, I bring you tidings of great joy that shall come to all the people. For unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. During the national holiday of Christmas, people's minds are often turned to Jesus. Some often stop at the sign of the baby that was given to the shepherds one night 2,000 plus years ago, and they miss the complete story of Jesus, the Christ. Others seem to forget he is alive, a risen Savior, and worshiping the porcelain and plastic figures of him while failing to realize the power he has for them, failing to talk to him. Today's podcast is an intriguing overview of the entire life of Jesus as never heard before. The account is presented in an interesting and engaging way. About 90% of the story of Jesus is read directly from scriptures out of the Matthew Bible. The remaining portion is brief narration to tie the scriptures together. Before the account of the life of Jesus is given, I want to mention a couple differences between the Matthew Bible and the King James Version. The Matthew Bible records the angel speaking to the shepherds. I bring you tidings of great joy that shall come to all the people, compared to the King James, which says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Although the differences are minor, I think that the Matthew Bible is easier to understand. Tidings of great joy will come to all people. Finally, the King James says, And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The Matthew Bible is again clear to me. It says, And straightway there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly soldiers, lauding God and saying, Glory to God on the high, and peace on the earth, and unto men rejoicing. The idea that the heavenly host was an army of soldiers publicly praising Christ and daring any to object is introduced. These types of differences help to expand one's understanding of the Holy Scriptures in a way not seen since William Tyndale and John Rogers' day. Now, a quick word from this episode's sponsor. Our Lord was not always known to His creation as Jesus. Through time, people began to know the Creator and the God He represents. The Apostle John introduced Jesus as the Word, as something spoken during the creation of the world, yet not revealed during that time. Jesus created the world, yet the world did not yet know the Savior. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by it, and without it was made nothing that was made. In it was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. This is the story of Jesus Christ. After the world was formed, and people raised up as living souls, that Word walked with Adam and Eve. And they heard the voice of the Lord God as he walked in the garden Adam. In the cool of the day.
Adam.
And the Lord God called Adam,
"Where art thou, Adam?"
and said unto him, "Where art thou?" From the Word to a voice, and on to a promise of a manifestation, a revealing as the Savior of all people. Jesus, the Creator of all things, is slowly being introduced to mankind. The story of Jesus, the fleshly man, begins with a promise to Abraham about his future heirs. Then the Lord said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and out of thy father's house into a land which I will show thee, and I will make of thee a mighty people, and will bless thee, and make thy name great, that thou mayest be a blessing." From the prophets who predicted the Savior, and up through and beyond the Gospel of Matthew, the holy men of God understood the importance of the promise to Abraham. The Gospel of Matthew began by having said, "This is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son also of Abraham." And the prophet Isaiah earlier explained, "For unto us a child shall be born, and unto us a son shall be given. Upon his shoulder shall the kingdom lie, and he shall be called with his own name." Wondrous giver of counsel, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He shall make no end to the increase, the kingdom, and peace, and shall sit upon the seat of David and in his kingdom, to set up the same, to establish it with equity and righteousness from thenceforth forevermore. This shall the jealousy of the Lord of hosts bring to pass. As the annals of time move beyond the creation, the Word and the voice began to be realized as something more, much more. The Word that the angels first obeyed now had an earthy voice, one given by prophets. And now that voice was to have a human form. That form was to become known as a Prince of Peace, called the Son of God, a man with an identity and a name. In about AD 33, God felt the need to fully introduce his Son as the King to the world. After first sending prophets, such as Isaiah, messengers like Job, and forerunners like Elijah, last of all, he sent unto them his Son, saying they will reverence my son. This was Emmanuel, the Anointed One, Jesus, the Savior, which being in the shape of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Nevertheless, he made himself of no reputation, and took on him the shape of a servant, and became like unto men, and was found in his apparel as a man. He humbled himself. The Word humbled himself to be born as a man and to be in subjection to his earthly parents until the Lord would exalt him. From the Word to a voice and on to a man with a name, the Creator and Savior began to be known of his creation. And therefore the Lord shall give you a token of himself. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. To this purpose, God sent an angel to speak with the righteous young woman who would bear the child of whom the Holy Spirit was to give life. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The young lady's name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. Lo, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give to him the seed of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom shall be no end. Then said Mary to the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come unto thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born shall be called the Son of God. Not only to Mary did Gabriel appear, but to her espoused husband Joseph, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Joseph and Mary were wed with the divine promised. And Joseph also ascended from Galilee, out of a city called Nazareth, into Jeri, that is to say Judah, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, which was with child. And it fortuned, while they were there, her time was come that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her first begotten son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them within the inn. And there were in the same region shepherds abiding in the field, and watching their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord stood hard by them, and the brightness of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. But the angel said unto them, Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy that shall come to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And take this for a sign, ye shall find the child swaddled and laid in a manger. And straightway there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly soldiers, lauding God and saying, Glory to God on high, and peace on the earth, and unto men rejoicing. His name was called Jesus, which was named of the angel before he was conceived. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and abide there till I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the child to destroy him. Immediately, the devil tried to stop this Savior, this Jesus. However, the baby escaped capture from Herod and grew to early childhood. God protected his only begotten son, and Jesus avoided the mass genocide of all of the Jewish children 2 years and under. Despite the devil's battles, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was with him. Joseph and Mary were in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, which when it ended, they headed back home. Jesus tarried behind, unknown to the parents. They quickly returned to seek out their promised child, but it took several days to find him. And it fortuned, after 3 days, that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and posing them. And all that heard him marveled at his wit and answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must go about my Father's business?" And they understood not the saying that he had spake to them. And he went with them, and came to Nazareth, and was obedient to them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and age, and in favor with God and man. Around 30 years old, Jesus is pointed out by John the Baptist. And it fortuned, as all the people received baptism, and when Jesus was baptized and did pray, that heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost came down in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven saying, "Thou art my dear Son, in thee do I delight." As a man, Jesus had to defeat Satan's tempting power, being in all ways tempted like unto us. After his baptism, Jesus entered into a spiritual battle with Satan. Then was Jesus led away of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Then came to him the tempter. The devil tried his hardest to cause Jesus to sin while in his weakest state. Jesus, the Savior, used the scriptures to combat this enemy of souls. Finally, after a time of temptation, Jesus answered and said to him, "It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." As soon as the devil had ended all his temptation, he departed from him for a season, and Jesus returned by the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues and was commended of all men. Jesus said that he, the Son of Man, had came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Hebrews writer later said of Christ, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not have, but a body hast thou ordained me. In sacrifices and sin offerings thou hast not lust. Then I said, Lo, I come, and the chiefest in the book it is written of me, that I should do thy will, O God." Upon hearing the truth, the people soon began to reject Christ. They enjoyed the food and the miracles, but many of them did not want to be held accountable for their actions. They began to leave our Lord, and he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." We move beyond the details of his life, beyond the message of salvation, past the miracles of healing, the missionary journeys, the calling of the disciples and apostles, the teaching at the Mount of Olives, and eventually, we find our Savior in his final hours asking God for strength. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray, lest ye fall into the temptation." And he gat himself from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down, and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou wilt, withdraw this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be fulfilled. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, comforting him. And he was in agony and prayed somewhat longer. And his sweat was like drops of blood trickling down to the ground. Jesus received the strength to go to the cross for your and my past sins. Judas betrayed Jesus with the proverbial kiss, and Jesus is quickly arrested. After first healing an enemy, and after those who came forward were allowed to rise from where they had twice fallen at his words, "I am he." Then Jesus said unto the high priest and rulers of the temple, and the elders which were come to him, "Be ye come out as unto a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in temple, ye stretched not forth hands against me. But this is even your very hour in the power of darkness." Then took they him and led him and brought him to the high priest's house. After cruel mocking, scourgings, blasphemy, and a rejection by the Jews whom he had often delivered, Jesus was presented to the council of Jewish elders, chief priests, and scribes, who asked him, "Art thou very Christ? Tell us." And he said unto them, "If I shall tell you, you will not believe. And if also I ask you, you will not answer me or let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." All of these Jewish leaders arose and led Jesus to Pilate, who in turn referred Jesus to Herod. Together, Herod and Pilate tried Jesus and pronounced judgment. And Pilate called together the high priests and the rulers and the people, and they said unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverted the people. And behold, I have examined him before you and have found no fault in this man of those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done of him. I will therefore chasten him and let him loose. For of necessity he must have let one loose unto them at that feast." And all the people cried out at once, saying, "Away with him, and deliver to us Barabbas, which for insurrection made in the city and murder was cast into prison." And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required, and let loose unto them him that for insurrection and murder was cast into prison whom they desired, and delivered Jesus to them to do with what they would. And as they led him away, they caught one, Simon of Cyrene, coming out of the field, and on him laid they the cross to bear it after Jesus. Having been judged wholly pure and with no fault, Jesus is sentenced to death and led to Golgotha Hill, openly being shamed and facing the last enemy, death. All sin requires death, and Jesus was willing to pay the price for you and I. That gift of life comes with conditions before it can be received. Conditionally, one must believe. In brokenheartedness, seek forgiveness while forgiving others. Turn from doing wrong and receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus was hung on a cross, his hands and feet pierced, the cross raising him above the people. On either side, an evildoer also hung. A sign placed over his head in three languages gave the proclamation, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the evildoers which hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." The other answered and rebuked him, saying, "Neither fearest thou God, because thou art in the same damnation? We are righteously punished, for we received according to our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there came a darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened. And the veil of the temple did rent, even through the midst. And Jesus cried with a great voice and said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And when he thus had said, he gave up the ghost. When the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Of a surety, this man was perfect." Jesus was taken from the cross and laid in a borrowed tomb. The next day, that followed Good Friday, the high priest and Pharisees got themselves to Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that this deceiver said while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest peradventure his disciples come and steal him away, and say unto the people, 'He is arisen from death,' and the last error be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Take watchmen, go and make it as sure as you can." And they went and made the sepulcher sure with watchmen and sealed the stone. The Sabbath day at even, which dawneth the morrow after Sabbath, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers were astonied and became as dead men. The angel answered and said to the women, "Fear ye not. I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord was put, and go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from death. And behold, he will go before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Jesus met the 11 apostles in Galilee, and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus is the one whom God hath raised up and loosed the sorrows of death, because it was impossible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh of him aforehand, "I saw the Lord always before me, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved." He spoke of the position that Jesus would take with the Father. Christ testified of this, having said, "Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." Stephen confirmed it, being full of the Holy Ghost, looking up steadfastly with his eyes into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." The Apostle John witnessed Christ on the right hand of God, having testified, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat enthroned a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel, which cried with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" In the revelation of Jesus, John saw him accepted by God, not as a sinner, but as one being perfect and pure. Approaching the right hand of God, Jesus took the book and revealed truth, the truth of himself, to the world. "And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not, behold, a lion, being of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath obtained to open the book, and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the seat, and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though he had been killed, which had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the spirits of God, sent into all the world. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the seat. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast killed and hast redeemed us by thy blood out of all kindreds and tongues and people and nations, and hast made us to our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.' And when God shall send him, which before was preached unto you, that is to wit, Jesus Christ, which he must receive heaven, until the time that all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began, be restored again. For Moses said unto the fathers, 'A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, even of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things. whatsoever he shall say unto you. For the time will come that every soul which shall not hear that same prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Also, all the prophets from Samuel and thenceforth, as many as have spoken, having likewise told of these days, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant, which God hath made unto our fathers, saying to Abraham, even in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. First unto you hath God raised up his Son Jesus, and him he hath sent to bless you, that every one of you should turn from your wickedness. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of Patriarch David, for he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher remaineth with us unto this day. Therefore, saying he was a prophet, and knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins should sit on his seat, in that Christ should rise again in the flesh, he saw before, and spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul should not be left in hell, meaning the grave, neither his flesh should see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Since now that he by the right hand of God is exalted, and hath received of Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth that which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. So therefore, let all the house of Israel know for a surety that God hath made the same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and unto the other apostles, you men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise was made unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, yea, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. He then asked, believest thou this? Can you say, yes, Lord, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of God? The story of Jesus is an account of salvation, hope, and peace. To follow God's only Son is to enter onto the pathway to everlasting life. I hope you are on that pathway with God in your heart, heaven on your mind, and Christ's Spirit in your soul. Four questions arose out of this overview of the life of Jesus. If you're interested in doing a Bible study from this scriptural reading, the first question that came to mind was, what did Jesus mean by saying, I am the resurrection? The second question, why do people think that salvation is a gift without requirements? 3, the words wickedness and damnation are not used much in the modern world. Why not? 4, have people forgotten the power that Jesus has given to the believers? Tuco911.com supports the Matthew Bible podcast that you just heard. If you're wanting to help someone in need, not with a handout, but through empowerment, please visit Tuco911.com and learn more about this program. Thank you for listening to the Matthew Bible Podcast. If you would like to learn more information about the Matthew Bible Modern Spelling Edition, please visit us online at thematthewbible.com.
This is the Matthew Bible Podcast.